The message tonight is how to speak thoughts and speak words that please the Lord. Before we jump into that, talking about words, let's pause just for a minute because I heard about, I always say how women talk more than men. We know it's not true. So I heard a story about a man and wife who were talking, and they were talking about how the husband said, in an article where women speak about 30,000 words a day, men only 15,000. And she said, the wife said, well, that's just because we have to repeat everything we're saying. Which the husband replied, what'd you say, Ellen? Truthfully, times is telling us that we do not really speak more words than men. I'll just let you ask that out whatever you want to believe.
But they do tell us that we speak about 16,000 words a day. Some people more like 6 or 7. Some people up 17,000 words a day. And you know, before those were words, they're thoughts, right? And scientists tell us about 60,000 thoughts run through your brain during the day. Now, a lot of those are related, so we might call them, they're laughing down here because it's ping pong. You may have a day like that. But there are maybe 6,000 streams of thought that turn into these 60,000 thoughts. So with all that going on in our thinking and in our speaking, I've had this verse on my heart for the last few months. And it's been my prayer, but I sense that during this new year, this is something for all of us to take more seriously and just to stay focused on. So the scripture tonight that we're anchoring our thoughts out of is Psalm 19:14. And I had to memorize this in elementary school. Did any of you? Okay, some of us did. We used to memorize scriptures in public elementary school, and this was one of them. So let's look at this scripture. Read it with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It is a scripture that, it's a prayer that David was praying, and it just has a lot of weight when you think about it, that the words that we speak and the things we think, the meditations of our heart, we should desire those to be acceptable in the Lord's sight. The word acceptable means pleasing, okay? Acceptable and pleasing in his sight. It's actually talking about like in his face, he's watching. We're, you know, when we pray and he's watching in our lives, and our words can be pleasing and accessible to him. The Bible tells us we will give an account for every idle word that we've spoken, which is a terrifying verse for most of us because we do speak a lot of words and we don't often maybe put enough thought into those words. But tonight, you know, I think Eddie talks sometimes about the two oars in the water. One of those oars would be the fear of the Lord, right? We are aware that there should be a holy reverence and fear of the Lord as we're serving him. We want our words and our thoughts to be right. But then on the other side is this deep love for the Lord, which I think when we really focus on loving God and our relationship being one of loving him, then it's an even deeper desire than the fear of the Lord, a desire to please him, a desire that he would think that everything we say and do would be pleasing in his sight. So tonight we're going to wrap our thoughts around this, and the first thing I'm going to say to you is just simply, as I said, this is meat and potatoes. We can speak words and think thoughts that please the Lord. You have that capability. I have that capability. We can please the Lord. We can speak words of life. We can speak words of faith. We can encourage. We can bless. We can be thankful. We can praise. We can worship. You spoke words during the worship service tonight that was pleasing to the Lord because you were lifting up His name and you were worshiping Him, and that pleases the Lord. So Colossians, Paul tells us this, that we could actually walk worthy of the Lord and fully please Him. So it's even more. Not only can you please the Lord, but you could fully, completely please the Lord as you walk worthy. That's a challenge for all of us, but it's right from the Word of God. So as you think about your words that you've spoken today, let's just do a little checking up here. How many of them do you think, let's say you've spoken 12,000 words, how many of them do you think had purpose, meaning? How many of them pleased the Lord? We know automatically some of them, we're probably going, oh yeah, I was complaining. I don't think that was pleasing to the Lord. But our words can please the Lord, and they can be words of faith. As I was praying about this and thinking about it, I thought about Sandra, one of our elders who recently has had a health concern. She had some cancerous tumors removed, and every time I talked to her about it, she had complete peace. Now, I know she may have battled in her prayer closet, but every time I talk to her, she's like, God's got it. He's got it. He's assured me He's got it. It's going to be okay. So she was speaking words of faith, words that lined up with what she believed, what she'd heard from God, and that pleases the Lord. So you can do that too. Your words can please the Lord. Secondly, we can speak words and think thoughts that displease the Lord. This one's, you know, balancing that out. We can please Him, but we might also displease Him. The Scripture tells us in the abundance of words, there wanteth not sin, I think the new KJV says. If there's a lot of words, there's going to be sin. So that's a challenge for me. Some of us like to talk more than others. I remember when I was in fifth grade, I had this teacher who had a list of all of our names on the side of the filing cabinet, every student's name. And when you got caught talking when you were not supposed to, you got a little mark by your name. And when you got three marks, you got a lick. I know they don't do that anymore, but, you know, you got a paddling. You got one lick for every three marks. And she kind of got behind, and I remember going over to the list one day and looking, and there was my name, and there was like two long lines of marks. I don't remember what happened. I just remember seeing all those marks and going, so it's more challenging maybe for some people than others, and I have to work on that. But words are important. The Scripture tells us that the power of life and death is what? In the tongue. In our mouth, with our words, the power of life and death. Jesus Himself said the things that proceed out of the mouth comes from the heart, and they defile us. So we need to be concerned about what we're saying because it indicates it's coming from our heart, and whatever is coming from our heart can defile our lives. And it's often just a symptom that something is wrong. You know how the little engine oil light comes on, and it means there's something, you need to put some oil in there. There's something wrong. So when your words are displeasing to the Lord, when you're out of balance as far as godly words, then something's wrong. You need to stop, take a time out, spend some time with the Lord and find out, why am I griping? Why am I complaining? Why am I gossiping? Why am I doing these things with my words? Because it's a symptom that something's going on in your heart, because words come from the heart. Scripture, scientists tell us that 75% of these thoughts that we speak, the 60,000 thoughts that just run through there, 75% of the thoughts we think are negative or repetitive. So what this means is we often get a thought, or it's our kind of thinking, and we know that some people might be more prone to be anxious, some people might be more prone to have depressive thoughts or angry thoughts or whatever. But these types of thoughts that we find ourselves thinking are often repetitive. So when they scan the brain, they see ruts in the brain, little ruts. And it means that's just the easiest place for your thoughts to go. It's like sliding down a ski slope. It's so easy because you've done it so many times. It's just your natural path. But the Bible challenges us that we can change those paths. In science, we don't need science to prove it because we know it's true, but science has proven that we can rewire our brain. We can change the way we think by thinking new thoughts. So if you have 75% of your thoughts have some kind of negative taste to them, some kind of complaining or arguing or whatever, that's displeasing to the Lord. So we need to change the way we think. Think about what we're thinking about. So we might have negative thoughts about ourselves, the world, the future, what's going to happen in the world. But we need to replace our negative thoughts with thoughts of truth. We might be critical. We might, every time someone tells us something positive, we might spin it around and make it into something negative. Maybe you make mountains out of molehills. Anybody in here does that? Ask yourself this question. Are the thoughts that I'm thinking giving me life? Are they life-giving thoughts? We can please the Lord, we can displease the Lord. What kind of thoughts are you thinking? If we have a problem with our thoughts, it's because we have a problem in our heart. But the good news and the encouraging news and what we're going to spend most of our time on here tonight is this. We can change our hearts and our words with God's help. So no matter what habit you're in, no matter what negative pattern you're in, you can change it. You don't have to stay stuck in any kind of pattern. Even if your daddy was angry and your granddaddy was angry and you're angry, you don't have to be an angry person. We can change the way we think. We literally can change the way we think. It's not just that we're white-knuckling it and we're not doing it because we're biting our tongue and we don't want to do these things, but we actually, with God's help through the Spirit, can change the power of the gospel. We can change. There are five ways that I've highlighted we can change, and we're going to talk about those. The first one is just practically, and we talk about this a lot, but it's true. You can change the way you think by spending time in the Word, reading the Bible, studying the Bible. Because God's Word has life. It has breath. It has Spirit. The more you spend time in it, the more you change, the more your thinking changes. You listen to it on your phone if you want to. You can read it. You can pray it. You can memorize it. So many things that you can do with God's Word, and it changes the way you think about life. And when your thoughts change, your words change. Okay? Dr. Adrian Rogers used to say, what's in the well comes up in the bucket. So we want to change what's in the well, right? We want to change what's inside us. So read the Word. Romans 12:1 says that we can be transformed by what? You guys know this, by the renewing of your mind. Renew. You change your mind. The way you think is changed. And you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have the power through the Word of God to change the way we think, and our mind becomes renewed. So we don't think what Joyce Meyer calls the thinking thinking. We get rid of that, and we have God's kind of thinking. So practical way to change, read your Bible. Next, Scripture tells us we can take every thought captive and replace it with truth. So if we're going to take every thought captive, it stands to reason we need to think about what we're thinking about. We need to care what we're thinking about. We need to be concerned what we're thinking about. We need to be aware of what we're thinking about. Because every thought, the Bible tells us, it exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We have to get rid of it. We need to get rid of it, or it's going to harm us. It's going to pull us down. It's going to damage us. It's going to damage our lives. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, not some thoughts, not a thought once in a while, bringing every thought into captivity, that into the obedience of Christ. Now notice that first part, the weapons of our warfare. That tells you right there, it's not always easy. Warfare. What do you think about when you think about warfare? I got to get geared up. I got to get ready. It's going to be tough. I'm going to take on some enemies. There's some hard stuff happening. It can be warfare. But just because it's hard or just because it's warfare doesn't mean we get to opt out. We don't get to say, oh, you know, it's just hard. This is hard right now. You know, I can't help it. That's not true. So line your words up with what's true. We can help it with God's help. We can take every thought into captivity. So if you find yourself complaining, criticizing, being negative, unforgiveness in your heart, full of self-pity, you have to find that thought and go, stop. Stop. Stop that. You have to talk to yourself. Stop. And then you kick that thought out. You get rid of it. And you can do this. It requires purposeful living, paying attention, being purposeful, which anything we're going to do worthwhile in our life is going to require something purposeful out of us. So on purpose, we take this thought captive and we stop it. And then we replace it with what God says. So maybe I'm complaining, and why was complaining one day this week, and I was like, this is so cold, I hate this cold weather, I can't stand this cold weather, I just can't walk outside in this cold weather, it's just, I just can't stand it. And he got his clothes on, he jumps up and he goes outside to walk, it's 32 degrees, I'm like, I can't walk, it's 32 degrees. I sat there a minute, the Lord's like, you know you need to be walking. You got all those new warm clothes you got for Christmas. You really could go walk if you wanted to, but I don't want to, Lord. But I did. I got up and walked. I don't do that every time. But what I'm saying is, just because we have a thought doesn't mean it's true. We can confront those thoughts and find out what is true and replace the thoughts, take them captive, get rid of them, stop them, and replace them with God's truth. Do you ever find yourself feeling negative about a friend or a spouse? And saying things about them. What the Bible would suggest that we do is go into intercession for that person. Because, you know, James tells us bitter and sweet water can't come out of the same place. So when you turn your heart toward intercession for something that somebody you're struggling with or a relationship, all of a sudden you can see the good. Doesn't mean people are perfect or situations are perfect, but it means your view has changed. And even if you need to pray for that person, for God to do something in this area of their life, at the same time you can be grateful. And at the same time you can see the good qualities. I like to think about that a lot because the Bible says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. I use this all the time in my counseling because a lot of times we just know one part of the truth and we're not willing to see the whole truth. So what is the whole truth? Well, maybe there is a problem in a relationship, but what is the whole truth? The whole truth is that that person also probably has some great qualities And maybe you haven't always done your part. And maybe you could intercede for them. So we need to put the whole truth on the table so that we can be free in our thinking and in our how we feel. Okay. What about your finances? Well, maybe you're like, I just don't have enough money for this. And that may be your fact, your reality. But God's truth says that if you put Him first, what's going to happen? He's going to provide all your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So we don't have to pretend that something's not true. I think we get into a little semantics there sometimes, like, well, I can't say that, you know, I don't have enough money to pay this bill. Well, I could say I don't have enough money to pay this bill, but what's beyond that is God will provide all my needs. I've been faithful. I've been tithing. I've been giving. I'm walking with the Lord. So I can count on the fact that God will honor His word and He will take care of all my needs. So tell the whole truth and replace your negative thoughts with positive ones or truth-filled ones. What if you have a health problem? Sometimes we get into health problems, and you might say, well, my life's never going to be the same again. It's just never going to, it's, you know, I can never overcome this, and this is just, well, what you need to say is, this is a challenge, but what God's Word says is, He will heal me. He will strengthen me. He will take care of me. So you can start with what you know, what your fact is. You don't have to deny that. We don't see Jesus denying it in the scripture. We don't see Paul denying it. They talk about things that were happening in people's lives, but then apply the truth to it. Truth overcomes those facts in your life. So you can take thoughts captive and replace them with truth. Your thoughts have a lot of power. They're like seeds, and seeds grow. Okay? So you have to pay attention to what's happening, because if you just leave it there, if you leave that grumbly thought there, that complaining thought there, that bitter thought there, if you leave it there, it's not going to stay the same as it is. It is going to grow. Because that's the nature of seeds, and that's the nature of thoughts. You have to challenge them. You have to confront them. You have to take them captive. And whether you like to believe it or not, you always have a choice. You can have thoughts coming to you all over the place. But you have a choice what you do with them. You don't have to take them, think on them, meditate on them, and make them a part of your life. Matter of fact, you're supposed to cast them down if they oppose themselves to God. You have a choice in what you think. You have a choice in what you say. But there are some things that help us do it better. Reading God's Word. Taking the thoughts captive. Also, thinking about what's pure and eternal. Paul tells us in Philippians, and many of you are familiar with this scripture in Philippians 4, 8, and 9, where Paul says, finally, he's summing up a letter to the Philippians, finally, brethren, then he tells them this, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on those things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul said, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. So you can change the way you think by purposely thinking on things that are eternal, things that are pure. This whole list of things in Philippians 9. So sometimes we just print that scripture out, put it, you know, our car dash, put it on our refrigerator, put it in our purse, whatever, and then ask ourselves, am I passing that Philippians test? Is that what I'm thinking about? Pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise, just, honorable. How many of your thoughts are on things that are pure and eternal? In Colossians, Paul said, and he said this earlier, set your mind on things above, not on things below. Now, we live in the world, and so we have to function in the world, and we have to deal with things in the world, but our center of headquarters is above. It's from the Holy Spirit. So set your mind, and this is a very purposeful word. It's something you do. You choose. You set your mind. Now, some of you are athletes, and you know what this is like when you're going to run a race or you're going to participate in some sporting activity, and you got to get your mind in the game. You got to get rid of all the distracting thoughts. You got to set your mind. So whatever's going on in your life right now, whatever battle you're in, set your mind. You can control your thoughts. You can set your mind on things above. And the fourth way you can practically change is to be in constant prayer and conversation with the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. So how do we do that? Well, it's just like this. When I woke up this morning before I got to bed, I said, "Good morning, Lord." And I just laid there and I'm like, "Thank you for life. Thank you for being able to breathe today and move today. And thank you for this day." I'm just thinking. You're just talking with God all day in your thoughts. And then when you're going to eat your food, you just say, "Well, thank you, Lord, for giving me this." In this cold weather, you say, "Thank you, Lord, that I've got heat in my house. I've got a roof over my house. I've got insulation in my walls." Some of you, Mark and Robin, know you've been to these countries. We were in Guatemala, and the shacks these people live in will just tear your heart out. I mean, there's just a piece of tin on the side of a hill, and there's no insulation, and there's no heat, and there's no running water. We have a lot that we can be grateful for and just be talking to the Lord about all day long. This helps you be more aware of the negative thoughts or the ungodly thoughts because you're talking to the Holy Spirit. And so He will say, no, stop. That's the Holy Spirit. Don't say that. Say, "You're sorry you said that." You're having these conversations with God all day long, and it helps you to become more conscious about the words you say and the things you think because you are having that relationship with your true and living God who is speaking to you, who is talking to you, and you're talking to Him all during the day. Before I talk about being grateful, I wanted to illustrate that. Dr. Caroline Leaf, some of you know, she's written a lot. She's a neuroscientist, really smart. I've heard her speak way over my head. But she's a Christian neuroscientist. And she writes a lot about how you think, changing your brain, how to do all these things. And she said it had been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period changes the brain to such an extent that you can measure it on a brain scan. I mean, this is what the Bible tells us, right? We renew the mind. We change our mind through meditation, through prayer, communicating with the Holy Spirit. So the last way I'm going to talk about practical ways to change the way you think and the way you speak is by being grateful. We talk about this a lot, but it's really important. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul told the Thessalonians, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And we all know he didn't say, "Thank the Lord for everything." We don't thank the Lord if we've got the flu. "Thank you for the flu." No, that'd be stupid. No. You just say, "Lord, here I am, and I've got the flu, so I'm trusting you to heal me. I'm quoting your word, and I'm praying, and I'm talking to your Holy Spirit, and I'm going to anoint myself with oil, and I'm going to get somebody to pray for me, and I'm going to meditate on your word, and I'm going to be grateful for the things I can be grateful for." So in everything, not for everything, give thanks. Five ways that you can become more grateful is having a gratitude journal. I had a client one time who was really struggling with being negative. I mean, really bad. But she was a Christian, and she knew that wasn't okay. I didn't even tell her this. She came up with it on her own, but I watched it work. She started journaling every day 5 things that she could be grateful for. And in a period of a year, I saw her completely change. The whole way she thought about life completely changed. As you just think about what you're grateful for. So some people use gratitude journals and they might just write a word a day, or a scripture a day, or a thought a day, or draw a picture a day, whatever. But it's having a daily practice of gratitude. So it's something that you're saying, I'm going to do this every day because I think it will please the Lord. I'm going to be grateful. You can read prayers of gratitude in the scripture. You can count your blessings. Count your blessings. So tonight, what are some blessings we could thank the Lord for? We are in this wonderful new building with nice seats and heating and air and sound equipment and people who have gifts who sing and play music. And we have people we love that we're here with. And we had a car to get here. At least I think most of us did, you know. And we have so many blessings. So being aware of your blessings will help you have thoughts that please the Lord. You rehearse those blessings to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've told that story before, but I remember distinctly one day standing at my kitchen sink several years ago when all the kids were still at home, and I was like, there's so many dishes to wash. I mean, I was just feeling under it. Like, I got clothes to wash, I got dishes to wash, I got... And I knew the Lord was just telling me, no, be grateful. And so I just started. I literally said, well, thank you, Lord, that I can stand on my feet and wash these dishes. I thank you that I've got hands. I thank you that I can feel. I thank you there's hot water in the sink, and I had money to buy dish detergent. And I thank you for the dishes, Lord. And I think I even have a dishwasher, too. I can put a lot of them in the dishwasher. And I've got a washer and dryer. I can't tell you how many times in my life I thank the Lord for the washer, the dryer, the dishwasher, and the garage door. I've lived without a garage before. I mean, it's not that big a deal, but I really like my garage. So I drive in there and I say, thank you, Lord, for a garage. This is awesome. I can come out to my car and it's not cold. But you can praise your way and be grateful out of those anxious thoughts, depressive thoughts, angry thoughts, disgruntled thoughts. You can change the way you think into something that pleases the Lord by being grateful, counting your blessing. And notice the little things. So right now, I want you to think about your senses. I want you to think for just a minute, what can you hear? What can you see? We're not tasting right now unless you got gum or mint. What could you touch? What could your heart feel? This is the way God has made you. These are your senses. And with your senses, you can interact with the world. And what a blessing. What a blessing to be able to see and hear and smell and taste and touch and feel the miraculous way that God has made us. We can notice the little things and be grateful for those things. Another practical way to change is to watch your language. This ties in what we already said. But scientists tell us that grateful people have a different linguistic style. They use words like grateful. They use words like honor. They use words like gift and giver and blessing and abundance. So if that's true, then the opposite must be true, right? So if we are using negative words, then it's going to produce negative things in our life. But people who are really grateful have a different whole language about them. You ever met some of those people that are so encouraging? Bill Hubble, he's like super encouraging. There's a few people that I can think about, and every time you see them, they're just loving the Lord and loving you, and you're like, I want to be more like that, right? Watch your language. It is important. So we're going to come back to this scripture that we started with. And we're going to read it together in a minute. But I want to say to you, don't underestimate the power of your thoughts or the power of your words. I can assure you the devil doesn't underestimate the power of your thoughts or the power of your words, because he's quite active trying to give you thoughts that will take you in a negative direction. Your flesh is giving you thoughts that will take you in a negative direction. The devil's giving you thoughts that will take you in a negative direction. But you have a choice about what you speak, about what you think. You can choose words that build up or tear down, encourage, discourage. You can bring healing. You can break a spirit. You have power. There's that passage in James that talks about how the tongue is set on fire of hell and nobody can tame the tongue. And it just goes on and on about, you know, if you're a perfect or mature believer, if you can tame the tongue. And that's power. So you can have unbridled power that nobody can do anything with, like a wild stallion that's just worthless. Right? Or you can have power that's bridled under control of the Holy Spirit, your words and your thoughts under His control day by day, moment by moment. And you can think thoughts and speak words that move mountains, that change lives, that bring healing, that are used for the Lord's purposes. Or you can use words that make your life go up in smoke, is basically what that passage says in James. So let's talk about your day today and my day today. Let's just do a checkup. How many of the words that you spoke today do you think were pleasing to the Lord? 10%, 20, 50, 70? Could we do better? We're going to speak some words that are just words and probably serve no purpose, but how many of your words were negative today? How many of your thoughts were negative today? Because remember, the thought's the seed that produces the word, produces the deed. We've got to change the thoughts, take them captive. So how many of your words were negative today? And then let's look at this challenge. And let's make this a prayer that we take with us, that we focus on. And I want you to read it with me now as we've looked through all these other scriptures. And by the way, if you want to study the power of words, there are hundreds, hundreds of scriptures. I started putting all the scriptures about words. There are hundreds of them, folks. The Bible has a lot to say about it. So let's read this psalm together. Let's make this a prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So I want you to notice that last part. Where do we get the strength from to do this? From the Lord. It's not your self-will. It's not your self-effort. Because you might white-knuckle it and do good for a day or two. But if you really want to change, you'll get your strength from the Lord, who He is your strength, He is your Redeemer. He is the one that you're looking to and saying, oh Lord, may my words and may my thoughts please you. It's quite a challenge, but it's a challenge I think we should take for 2024. I think it's a challenge from the Lord for us. The worship team is coming, and, you know, God gives us grace to change. And He never asks us to do anything that He doesn't give us the power to do. So when He tells us that our thoughts and our words can please Him, it's because He's willing to give us the grace, the power to accomplish that. Our part is humbling our heart, humbling, you know, learning, reading the Word, meditating, taking those thoughts captive, doing all those things. And then we can know that when we lay our head on the pillow at night, we weren't perfect. Nobody's perfect. But the general direction of our life is that our words and our thoughts are pleasing to the Lord. Would you stand? Our worship team's here. The prayer team's coming. If you need prayer for anything, healing, relationships, anything that you need tonight, maybe it's something to do with the message, we have prayer team members who are here. And I just hope you'll take this challenge with you. I know I'm going to. It's been on my mind a while, but studying for this makes it even more present with me that this is the kind of life I want to live, and I believe that you're the kind of people, this is the kind of life you want to live. So let's make a commitment to do that with God's grace.